we had a study in the book of Philippians. And this summer, we're doing the Psalms, and that will continue until September when we have our missionary month. We'll have 3 consecutive weeks of missionaries teaching and preaching. Missionaries that we support from across the world will have basically a missions month. And at the end of the month, we're going to talk about adopting a missionary and getting more involved, each one of us, each family unit, getting involved with a missionary unit so that you can get to know them, they can get to know you. You can help them in prayer. You can help them financially. You can help them in, by visiting them. So that'll be the last Sunday of September, I believe. But what a joy to be in the Psalms. And we're in Psalm 13, this morning. And the title of our message is Defeating Depression. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And he says, again, I say rejoice. And yet that is a difficult thing to do for many people. And most of us have had times in our life when that is the very thing we want to do. We want to rejoice, but our gas tank is empty. We're weary. We're destroyed on the inside. And depression's got us. Despair has us in a chokehold. This morning I want to teach us some spiritual martial arts. I want to teach us this morning in the power and in the might of the Holy Spirit, in the victory of the resurrection, how to defeat depression. Now some of you have said, you know, what are you talking about? I never get depressed. Don't worry, it will come to you as well. The Bible says that this life is filled with tribulation, but we should not despair because Christ has says, I've overcome the world. Amen. David gives us a wonderful hope in Psalm 13. It seems like he's living in the valley of the shadow of death, but in that valley, he found a way to worship God. Wherever you are is a good place to worship the Lord, because He's worthy. And no matter what you're going through, nothing can take away the most costly treasure that you have, which is the very presence of God through Jesus, if you know Him. And so let us stand together as we read Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. This is God's Word. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is God's holy word. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, we are not called to despair, but we are called to great hope. I love the story of the Little League team that was being beaten badly. A man approached this Little League game, and he asked a boy in the dugout, what was the score? And the little boy said, it's 18-0. And the spectator said, you know, I bet you're very discouraged. And the little boy said, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten up to bat yet. You know, this life is such that it seems at times we are getting beaten badly. Would you agree? There are times in our life when it seems like Satan is beating us 18 to nothing. But dear saints, God has not promised to give us a life of comfort. He has promised to conform us to the image of Jesus. Now, the purpose of this morning's message is to show you that every trial and every difficulty that you have is a good thing. I want you to be awakened to the fact and get excited about the fact that you are in spiritual basic training. And that God is bringing these horrific things into your life, hallelujah, to make you more like Jesus. Now, we heard some testimonies this morning, but not all the details were shared. I'm pretty sure there were some deep valleys of the shadow of death in the life of Mamie and Stephanie. And Alex didn't give his testimony because he's given it already. But there's a whole book being written about his valleys. We all have valleys, don't we? But a Christian is not to be identified by despair or depression, even though it's prevalent. We are to be identified with joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. If you believe that, say amen. Now, let's take an examination of where David was, his defeat and his sorrow. This is our first point. He says, how long? How long? How long? How long? He says it four times. Do you get the idea? It's almost a movie that we're watching. You can just see David. Maybe he's in a cave. Maybe he's in Philistine territory. He's been rejected by his own king and his own people. King Saul was hunting him down, for those of you who know the story of the life of David. And this was bringing him much sorrow. There's a lot of things that can bring us sorrow. The definition of a depressed person, according to the DSM-5, the psychological manual of the world, is it's someone who experiences persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness and loss of interest in activities they once enjoyed. Aside from the emotional problems caused by depression, individuals can also present with a physical symptom such as chronic pain or digestive issues. Been there, done that. How about you? Physical and emotional symptoms of serious depression can include depressed mood most of the day, nearly every day, markedly diminished interest or pleasure in all or almost all activities most of the day, nearly every day. It can include significant weight loss when not dieting, or weight gain or decrease or increase in appetite nearly every day. It could include a slowing down of your thoughts and a reduction of physical movement. Or it can be brought about by irrational thoughts. It can cause fatigue or loss of energy nearly every day. Feelings of worthlessness or excessive or inappropriate guilt nearly every day. Diminished ability to think or concentrate. Or recurrent thoughts of death. Recurrent suicidal ideation, thinking without a specific plan. Or even a suicide attempt. These things are the dark parts of the human condition that we, if we're honest, are all acquainted with. What are the causes of depression? Well, they can be physical. Physical illness can be caused by things that your body is reacting to. It could be a reaction to medicine. It could be some physical ailment like a thyroid issue. Depression can also be caused by poor nutrition. Someone who's type 2 diabetes, who's not eating correctly, will have very high sugar levels and be very depressed. Depression can be caused by lack of sleep. A lot of times you go to the doctor, if you're depressed, they'll say, what are you sleeping? How often do you sleep? 3 hours a night. Well, you probably are depressed. You need to get some sleep. Here's a baseball bat. Sometimes it's just that simple. Isolation will often cause depression. And we need each other. We need community. If you isolate yourself, don't be surprised that you struggle with dark thoughts. Sometimes it's disconnection from work. Either work is too much, or perhaps you've been laid off, or you're not working as much as you'd like to and you feel purposeless. It could be both. Too much stress from work or too little work. There could be postpartum depression. Ladies, every mother in here understands what postpartum depression is. You've gone through a major physical trial in your body, and it affects your soul, it affects your mind, it affects your thoughts. Sometimes it's the circle of life. Kids are now out of the home and you're trying to adjust, or you've had a change of your job. You've retired. And most people say, man, I celebrate when I retire. Yeah, for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then you realize this is hard. It's hard to get along after they've been out of the home for 40 years. You know, you have to readjust, and it can cause depression. You know what else causes depression? Getting old. Looking at your hairline. It's either turning gray or turning loose. Getting old. Sometimes we have less energy than we've had. Depression is often caused by menopause in women. And sometimes it's just depressing to lose function as you had before. Depression can be caused by having reoccurring or disturbing irrational thoughts. This especially takes place if you've had trauma, any kind of trauma in your life. If your parents were divorced when you were a kid, if you've had a major move in your life, especially when you were a kid or at an important time in your life. Sometimes traumas of abuse and those kinds of things can cause depression. You know what else can cause depression is just stressful life events. You get a new job. You move somewhere new and you have to meet new people. And all of a sudden you don't understand, but your heart is racing, your thoughts are racing, and you don't understand what's brought it on. It's a stressful event in your life. It could be almost any stressful event. And depression can also begin because of a betrayal or because of bitterness in your soul, where you just can't get over something. You can't forgive. Somebody said that bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. You know, all of these things, and I've only mentioned a handful of things, a dozen things here, but there could be hundreds and hundreds of physical ailments, hundreds and hundreds of symptoms, things that cause depression as well. And in depression, the sorrow is real, and we can relate with David here in Psalm 13 and verse 1. He says, save or help. How long, O Lord? How long, Yahweh? How long, the self-existent one? How long, the I am? How long do I have to go through this? It seems like, though he's asked it four times, he could have easily asked it 100 times. Have you been there? Have you been in such emotional pain that the only thing that you can pray to God is how long? Over and over and over again without seeming to hear an answer. You know, we love David because he bears his innermost soul to us in such an intimate way. He's hurting so bad, he's almost listless. You know, I appreciate cell phones. Leron Reed, Marcel's son, gave me my first iPhone. He said, I want to give you a gift, Pastor. It was an amazing gift. He was a single guy. He had a little bit of extra. And he said, I just want to bless you with this iPhone. And pretty soon, before I knew it, my wife and almost all of my kids have phones. And it seems like they should answer, don't you think? I've called my home and gone through the directory. Voicemail, voicemail. Even Evan's phone sometimes goes to voicemail. How in the world? He doesn't even have an iPhone. He has one of those flip phones. But he's the most faithful to answer. I'm just like, how is the least responsible the most responsible? I don't understand. And sometimes there's no answer. That's how David felt when he prayed. I remember coming home from a long trip. My arms were filled with things, and I had some gifts for my children and my wife, and I had called them ahead of time. I said, "I'm coming home." I get to the door. I misplaced my garage door opener. You know, how do you get in the house if you don't have a garage door opener? You know, so I'm like knocking on the door. I just talked to them like 2 minutes ago. Nobody's home. The car's in the driveway. Am I going crazy? Call. They're in the backyard playing. They're there. They let me in, finally. That's sometimes how it is when we try to pray to God in suffering, in depression, in despair. We knock and we knock and we're like, I just talked to God. I remember the days when He touched my heart, but now there doesn't seem to be anybody home. And we all know theologically that God will never leave us or forsake us. Amen? But emotionally, we feel abandonment. We feel forsaken. David felt forgotten. He said, "Save, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" He felt forgotten. How swiftly time flies when we're having a good time. 5, 10 hours can pass. Some of you have just gotten back from vacation. You understand what I'm talking about. You're looking at the Rocky Mountains or you're seeing a raging river. And Mike Klickus is fishing wherever he's fishing. He's always fishing somewhere. You know, and the time can just pass so quickly when you're having fun. But when you're going through depression, time goes by so slow. But I want you to understand that whatever our emotional state, whatever the condition of our emotional state is, that God's truth never changes. On your good days and on your bad days, your name is graven on His hand. Well, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel so depressed and so despairing? Well, let's go to a garden to find out. There we meet the Son of God. And the Son of God had close friends that He had invited to pray with Him in that garden. And as we look in that garden, we see only one person praying. The rest are sleeping. And the heaviness and the darkness, if we could see into the heart of the Lord, it would be so dark and stone cold. And there the disciples are sleeping. And He tries to awake them. "Come, let's go further in. Pray with me. Watch and pray." And each time, 3 times He asks, and each time, they don't have the strength to answer the call, to even pray for the Lord in His darkest hour. And so we see Him alone. And what astonishes Him most is not death, but the idea of being forsaken and separated from His Father. Can I just say that whatever emotional pain you are experiencing, it is not actual forsaking by God. It is emotional pain. Some of it is part of the fall. Some of it is the sin of others put upon you. But Jesus actually took the punishment for our sins upon Himself and was actually separated from the Father so that you, no matter what you feel like on your worst day, would never, ever be separated from the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. He felt forgotten, and so do we, but we're never forgotten. We're engraven on His hand, Isaiah says in Isaiah 49 and verse 16. David felt like the Lord in heaven had forgotten him and forsaken him. "How long will you hide your face from me?" One of the initial experiences, as those who gave testimonies this morning of conversion, One of the initial experiences of conversion is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We know that He is with us. And we sense first the conviction for our sins, and then the love of God is applied to our heart by the Holy Spirit, and we're forgiven, and we feel comfort and joy unspeakable and full of glory. But in depression, emotionally, you are unable to see or feel or experience the tangible presence of God, though the intangible presence of God will never leave you. But as human beings, we like the tangible, the manifest presence of God, the Shekinah presence of God. It was very comforting for the Israelites to see the cloud of glory wherever the Ark of the Covenant was. And how much more thrilling is it for everyday Christians to experience the cloud of glory, not at a distance, but in our very beings, lighting us up. David did not feel this. He felt forsaken. He felt forgotten. How long, O Lord? Well, let me give you an answer to that by telling you a story. Have you ever seen a plant where they make cars and vehicles? You can see almost anything on YouTube these days. Everything is geared in that plant to make the best product possible. Unless it's a... No, I won't go there. Okay. The designers have done everything humanly possible to speed up the process of making a motor vehicle, while at the same time they have to give it enough time so that it's absolutely perfect according to their engineering standards. So though it's as speedy as it can be, it's a very slow process. Everything has to be done properly, or there will be a recall. You know what I'm talking about. You've all gotten recalls. And so though it's done at the pace that it needs to be efficient, it seems sometimes like it goes at a snail's pace. I've seen cars being painted and going from the painting room to the drying room. And the engineers who designed that plant know down to the second how long it would take for the plant, for the paint on the car to be fully dry. And not until that exact moment is the car allowed out of the furnace heat. But once it comes out of the furnace, instead of being dull and drab, it's shiny and beautiful. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Don't you believe that God is the greatest engineer? And He's not making cars. He's not making whatchamathings. He's conforming each one of us into the image of Christ. And so we say, how long am I going to feel sometimes forsaken, sometimes forgotten? Let me just say that God is teaching you how to depend on Him and not on your flesh. Not on what your eyes see and what your emotions feel. There's something so amazing and so far beyond what you experience in your human body. Your body is fallen, but one day it's going to be redeemed completely. Aren't you looking forward to that day? You know, not only do we ask how long, and the answer to that question is, until you are conformed into the image of Jesus. That's how long. But we ask how low. And even though He asks two more times how long, we can just hear how low He's going. How low are these circumstances going to go? How low? Listen to what He says about His pain. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Sorrow of heart is, I've been told, and I think I've experienced enough sorrow that when you're having that kind of deep depression and despair, you'd rather have your right arm cut off and have that despair lifted from your heart. That's how low and painful depression can be. It's so difficult And David understood this. And you must understand it. If you haven't been there yet, you will be. Job said that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. So we feel low because of the pain, the emotional pain. We also feel low because of God's plan. In verse 2, he talks about human enemies that are standing against him. How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? And you have to get into the life of David to understand that this phrase in this psalm is all about the plan of God for David's life. Do you remember that David, when he was a boy, was out shepherding sheep in the field while Samuel came to his house to anoint a king? And Samuel went through each of the brothers in Jesse's family. And he said, it's none of these, even though they were strong. They seemed mighty. They seemed like they would be the king. But remember, man looks on the outward appearance, but God, where does he look? On the heart. And so David was brought back to his home, and the prophet Samuel poured a vial of oil, anointing oil, over his head to designate a prophetic office of king. He prophetically said, this man will be king of Israel one day. Now, God has given us many promises. Amen. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians that all the promises in the Bible are ours. They are yes and amen in Christ. They're all ours as Christians. But we're often like David. God has promised us all these wonderful, amazing things. And instead of sitting on a throne, we're staring into the face of a maniacal King Saul, who's throwing his javelin at us, his spear. Can I just speak to you, dear saint? The secret things belong to the Lord. Don't try to think as if you are God. God doesn't have to get your permission to carry out his plan. He doesn't have to tell you ahead of time what his plan is. He's God all by himself. And he doesn't need our help. What we need to understand when we feel suffering, when we understand the pain of suffering, and we say, how long and how low is this going to go? We need to see how low Christ went to Calvary. Oh, how exalted he was, King of heaven. We sing about him. The angels shouted his praises. Holy, holy, holy. But he descended into this realm of rebellion, this realm of filth and spiritual wickedness. And human beings and fallen angels cooperated together to nail the Lord of glory to a cross. And there he hung, who clothed the world, he hung naked. The one who created the ocean said, I thirst. There he was, our Lord, at the deepest, darkest place. So wherever you are, understand that we have a very compassionate High Priest who has undergone all that you've gone through and infinitely more. All of our suffering is temporal. His suffering was infinite. Our suffering will be removed. Our suffering, compared to the weight of glorious eternity, we have a small amount of suffering, Paul says. But Jesus will carry the scars in his hands and in his feet forever and ever. Aren't you glad? Our sorrow is deep, but Christ's sorrow is infinitely more. And so we turn from sorrow to supplication. We read in the first two verses that David had been crying out almost incoherently and certainly emotionally. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to just tell it to Jesus as it is. We need to just pour out our heart. Listen, there's no one who loves you more than Christ. There's no one who wants to hear your deepest cry more than the one who created you and gave his own son. So we need to pray when we're overwhelmed by emotions. Look at verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Dim eyes spoke of physical and emotional weakness. Sometimes you're so overwhelmed with depression and sorrow that you feel like you're dying. It feels like death. And that is why he uses this phrase, this colloquial expression, lighten my eyes, give me life. In the New Testament, we might say, let me drink from the living water. Let me eat that eternal, satisfying bread of life. Remember Job? In the first chapter, in verse 20, we hear the story of a windstorm that visits the house of Job's children where they were gathering. And in one moment, he lost his house and he lost his kids. Very few people on this earth understand what that is like. So what did Job do? It says he arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and he worshiped. He worshiped the Lord and said in verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he was saying? He was saying, my happiness is not based on my kids. It's not based on my house. It's not based on my job. It's not based on my well-being. My happiness is based on the Lord Jesus. And he was looking forward. He even said, he speaks prophecies about the Lord Jesus in this book, about his Redeemer living. And he says, nothing that is my total foundation can be taken away from me. No one can take away the Lord. Everything else can be taken away and given to you. And so blessed be the name of the Lord because he's my joy. He's my treasure. So when you are overwhelmed by emotions, you need to do what David did. You need to take those emotions and nail them to the truth. David, in verse 3, takes these emotions and he says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He's saying, you're my God. That's the truth. You are my God. You care for me. You created me. You have a plan for me. And then so pray not only when you're overwhelmed by your emotions, but also when you're overwhelmed by enemies. David looked in every direction and he saw enemies. Look at what he says in verse 4. Consider and answer me, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Sometimes we feel so defeated because of the circumstances of our life. And we take one hit and we say, boy, that was bad. And then we get another hit. Oh, that was worse. And we get another hit and we say, man, I think I'm going to give up. And we get another hit and we feel like just giving up because we feel totally defeated. Anyone here like the game of checkers? I read this story of a man who considered himself the world's greatest checkers player. He was a young man. But there was an old man in town who was looked upon by almost everyone in that town as being the greatest. The younger man was convinced that this was because the old man hadn't played him yet. Well, one day the old man was sitting on the porch of his home when the young man went by and the older gentleman challenged him to a game. The young man dusted off his hands. He's going to show him who can play checkers. And they put the pieces on the board. The young fellow made a couple of moves, and so did the old man. And the younger player saw an opening and snapped up one piece after another of the old man's pieces. And he thought to himself, doesn't this old man know that he can't win by losing? He's a pushover. And then it happened. Suddenly, the old man leaned over the board and click, 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 five times. And the boy's pieces were swept away. The old man had come all the way down the board. Crown me, the old man said. With a crestfallen look, the young man crowned the old man's piece. And then, click, 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 five times with that one piece, the old man took every checker remaining on the board. And he learned the value of losing a checker or two as long as he was headed for king territory. Can I just say that each one of you may lose some checkers, but you're headed for king territory. You are being robed. You are robed in the righteousness of Jesus. You are crowned with the crown of righteousness of the Lord. Your feet are shod with the shoes of the gospel of peace. You are clothed in all the armor of God. You're headed for king territory. Now, this world is not a place of comfort. This world is not our home. We must not think that we're going to be loved by the world, but that we're going to be rejected by the world. This world's a hostile place. It's enemy territory. And you cannot think that you're going to be completely emotionally comforted on this earth. Often you're going to be stripped of all that is valuable on this earth. But listen, everything on this earth is nothing. Paul says that it's dung compared to the excellency of knowing Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed to his death. He says, I run this race. I go for the prize of knowing Christ. It's worth all of the worthless. It's worth more than all the worthless things in this world. Can I also say that God is preparing you for service? You say, I've gone through this wretched, horrible depression, this difficulty, this trauma. Do you know that after the cross of Jesus, you know what there was? A resurrection. And after every cross that the Christian takes, there's a crown, there's a place of authority and service. There's a place that God wants to put you through your pain so that the comfort that you receive from God can be given to others. Paul says that in his writings to the Corinthians. And listen, losses are gain for the Christian. Paul says, I count all these things as loss that I might gain Christ. If it takes me losing a few checkers to reach the world for Christ, and God says, I want you to reach somebody, but you're going to have to get low to reach them. And he starts cutting you down, cutting you down, cutting you down. Why is he cutting you down? Because he's punishing you? Absolutely not. Why is he cutting you down? Because you wouldn't reach out to those who are hurting so bad. You'd just be so comfortable in this temporary world. He's cutting you down. He's bringing you that pain so that your heart can bleed with compassion and love for those who are cut down by life. So that you can show them that, yeah, there is a cross, but oh, there is a resurrection. God is taking away everything from your life that doesn't look like Christ. He's chiseling you. And let me just close by saying that God gives us a song. And in our depression and in our despair, we cannot get comfortable there. You know, sometimes we kind of like feeling sorry for ourselves, you know. Not at first. At first, it's just painful. But then we kind of get used to it. Listen, don't get used to that. Don't get used to that. Get rid of those thoughts of despair and replace them with thoughts of rejoicing. This is what David says. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He gives three reasons for song. Number one, God's steadfast love, his unrelenting love. How many of you can testify and sing about the fact that God loves you unconditionally, and no matter what you're doing, he's pursuing you relentlessly in love? Is that good news? Is that something to sing about? And what about salvation? He says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Is this salvation from sin? Surely. Is this salvation from self? Yes, that's included too. What about from salvation? Yes, if you walk in the armor of God and in prayer, that's included. But this is probably a salvation that he's looking for from King Saul. He was being chased by an enemy. And can I just encourage you, especially for those who may have the idolatry of fear of man. You're afraid what people say or do to you. And this is a good thing. Usually it means that you're a very empathetic person. But when the glory is aimed at you, you're worried about what they think about you, then it's a misplaced empathy. You should be concerned about their relationship with God. And so you need to be delivered. I need to be delivered from all of the idols. Saul was chasing after David, but David knew that no one and nothing could stop the plan of God for his life. And that was a salvation that he was looking at. If you're afraid of what people can do to you or what they can say to you, don't be afraid. Or if you're concerned and depressed because of the circumstances, maybe you're afraid that you're going to lose a job. Maybe you're afraid because your children are getting older and you're not sure what decisions they're going to make. These are real concerns that we have, right? Can I just say, whatever the circumstance is, God has a salvation for you. And you can trust him with every detail of your life. Every step he knows. And he's planned it out for you. Trust him. Surrender to him. No hurt or harm can be done to you that is eternal or in any meaningful way. Nothing can take away the love of God that he has for you, Romans 8 says. But finally, we sing not only because of his steadfast love and his salvation, but his sufficiency. David says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Do you believe that you have everything in Christ? Can I just ask you that question? Everything for life and godliness. You have every spiritual blessing, Ephesians says, in Christ. What you need more than anything is fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. Let go of all these things that are causing you to be depressed and despair. And hang on to the one who is the only lasting joy. Do you know how pearls are made? I think this is right. I could be wrong, but I think they're in a clam, right? Is this right? And they get some kind of irritant in the clam. And over time, that irritation builds around that little piece of rock or dust, and it turns into a pearl. That's what God's doing in us. Okay, we're depressed. Sometimes we even despair. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. You need to embrace suffering as part of the Christian life and realize God's doing something in you. God's doing something that no one can take away. Amen? He's doing a work of glory in you. And you're going to be on display forever and ever as God's trophy, as God's masterpiece. And he's doing something that only he can do. And no one can take it away. That is something to rejoice about. That's how you defeat depression. you look forward to what God is doing. And I'm going over, but listen. When I went through such deep depression in my life, and I have these times from time to time, it's strange, but because of what I know now, because of Christ has matured me in the faith, when I wake up and I'm totally out of my mind depressed, I kind of get a little excited. Isn't that weird? You're like, Matt, stop. Just stop. We're not your therapist. Listen, I get a little excited because I know theologically and I know the Holy Spirit is telling me, I've got something for you to do, but I have to humble you first. To bring you down low so that when I do what I do, that I alone, God alone gets all the glory. Amen? Let's stand together. Lord, we just pray as you've been working in our hearts, deep in our hearts, to the most vulnerable and tender places, that it's not your will that we should live in depression. It will enter into our lives. But we ask that you would take it, Lord, those who are struggling right now with despair and depression, that would be exchanged for hope and trust in you, hope of what you're doing, trust that you know what you're doing. Lord, help us in our deepest hour of darkness. Give us the strength to just say, we love you. We love you, Lord. You know what you're doing. You're Master, you're Lord, you're God, you're King, and we're glad that you're King. You're on the throne. We trust you. And blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, amen.